That we are in Christ. Help us, Father, to take our rightful position in the body of Christ. May we be filled with your Holy Spirit, that spirit of adoption, and may we come to that place of a fully mature child of God, ready for the adoption of sons. Help us now, Father, to understand the next phase, which is the shout, going from the shout to the voice, which is the resurrection. And help us, O God, to realize that if we have the Holy Ghost, you've already raised up that Spirit that is in us, your Holy Spirit. Paul said in Romans 8, verse 11, that if the same Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in us, that same Spirit will also quicken our mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in us. So it's not the vessel that you're talking about. It's the fact that the very Spirit that is in us has already been a resurrected Spirit. And therefore we are already spiritually, in our soul, in our spirit, we are already resurrected beings. We're just waiting for the body to follow suit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I'd like to welcome my brother Modesto from Cabinda, Angola. We met in 2010 at Brother Billy's over in Congo, DRC. And actually, I had meetings scheduled in Angola, and for some reason, they just never came to pass. I don't know what happened. But that's the way things go. I had meetings also in Gabon, scheduled in Gabon, but the government wouldn't let me come. So. And yet they let a guy from Troy come. Of course, he lied about how to get his visa. But he came over there to preach that we're already in the second coming is already taking place, and we're waiting for a third coming. And he was going to, Brother Brown gave him permission, you know, in a dream to change the message and everything else. So just a lot of nonsense, but that's the way the devil works. So now this morning, we're going to continue with our study of the rising of the sun. And this will be number 62 in the series. And I'd like to entitle it, Raised Together with Christ. We're going to speak from paragraph 126 of Brother Graham's sermon, Rising of the Sun. And here we take for our subject, Raised Together with Christ. And we spoke a little on this last night, but we're going to continue this thought into this morning's subject. From 126, Brother Graham said, now, you love him? Isn't he wonderful? Are you satisfied that you are a part of that Easter resurrection and that you raised with him? Raise your hands, you are included, my little children, as Paul would have said, not trying to impersonate him, but I love you. And I stormed the roads and everything else to get here, to get to speak with you, come up out of the desert, across the snow drifts and so forth to get here. We fly in planes and you drive across the country, and so we can get together. We love one another. We are part of one another. Don't you never let Satan tell you anything else. Being a part of one another, we are a part of Him. And we're fellow citizens of the kingdom, enjoying these blessings together of the resurrection. And now, see, now you are already resurrected. When God raised Him up, He raised you. The sun is just now on you. And remember last night we talked about being conjoined together. That when He raised up, we were part of Him. We raised up. And the Holy Spirit, that portion of God's Spirit that you have within you, was raised up when Jesus was raised up. Therefore, you already have resurrection life. All right? When God raised him up, he raised you. The sun is now just on you, and now you're growing into a blossom life, like he was, to be resurrected completely in the last day. Your potentials you have now. Now remember, there's a difference between potentials and reality. All right, potential means it's going to happen, but it's in the process of growing, in the process of blossoming. All right. Why do you know? He says, why do you know that your potentials you have now? Why do you know? Your soul changed, didn't it? Your body come into obedience to it, didn't it? Into obedience to what? A church? No, the Word, which is the life. Then you are now resurrected from the dead. It is Easter with Jesus and I. It's Easter with you and Jesus. It's Easter with you and I and Jesus. We are all, Jesus, you and I, we are all resurrected together, and we will rise at the last days, even though our spirits leave our body, even though the bodies rust or they may go to the dust, may they be burnt up, or may they be in the bottom of the sea. The Bible said an angel poured out his vial upon the sea, and everything that died come up. There's nothing can hide us or separate us from that God that we love so well, that raised us up together. Now, we cannot read concerning our being raised together with Christ without our minds going to the book of Romans, the 8th chapter, but we just don't have time to read the entire chapter this morning because I have, my notes go into 22 pages, and we don't have time to add that to it. I had to actually cut out to get here. Last night we read from Ephesians 2 and 5 where the Apostle Paul said, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, by grace are you saved, and hath raised us up together. Now notice all these together with Christ, together, raised us up together, quickened us together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ, that in the ages to come he might show the exceedingly riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. And from Brother Bram's sermon and Ensign, Brother Bram said, and a Christian that's dead and buried and raised with him in his resurrection in heavenly places. See, if we are dead with him, then we're already raised with him, for the body goes where the head is. And he is the head, and this is the body, and not will be, but now we are seated together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, with every power of the devil conquered and under his feet. Authority, there's the ensign. That's the hand that lifts up the count. Moses went down into Egypt. There was a great seas out there, lifted up the ensign, and what happened? They turned to blood, lifted up the over the land, frogs, lights, fleas, the sun refused to shine, death struck the land. Why? He lifted up the ensign of God's judgment. And when we lift up the ensign of God's judgment as a believer in Christ, with a crucified life to yourself and your own ideas, and raised and his word made alive among you, every devil's got to squeak at it. That's right. Because it represents Christ. See, he died. He's the one lifted up in the ensign, and Moses with his stick, he looked like a little bitty thing, but it was a stick. And it was God's ensign to Egypt, his rod, his judgment rod. And it brought judgment. God always gives something that you can look at, something you can put your hand on, something you can prove, something that's right after you have accepted him. So we went on to show last night how Moses had his staff. He put the staff into the water. He stepped in the water. Remember, God spoke to Moses and said, speak and go forward. And Brother Brown told us that if Moses would have only spoke, nothing would have happened. That's the problem with the church today. People speak, but nothing happens. You've got to speak and go forward. You have to step into the Word. You see? And the Word, there's promises in the Word for us in this hour, and we've got to step into those promises or they're null and void to us. Brother Brad said, as long as it's still in here, it's doing you no good. It's got to come out of here. You've got to step into that Word for that Word to become actualized. When Moses stepped into the water parted. When Elijah came to the water, he didn't have a staff. But he saw what God did with Moses. They had to cross this body of water like Moses had to cross the body of water. So he took his mantle off, he rolled it up tight, made it into like a rod. He hit the water, and he stepped into the water, and the water parted. When Elisha received that same mantle, as it fell to the ground after Elijah went up in the chariot of fire, then Elisha got put it on, he walked around with that mantle, he got come to the same river, same water. Now, he didn't have anything pressing, like, you know, you think sometimes, well, you know, I've got to have something really, really pressing in order for these things to happen. No, Moses didn't have, Elijah didn't have anything pressing. He was just at the same river. So he thought, well, okay, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So I'm going to take that same mantle. I'm going to roll it up tight like a staff. I'm going to hit the water like Elijah did, like Moses did. And when he did, he said, where is the God of Elijah? And God opened the water the same as he did, because he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. As I explained, when Elijah laid on the boy, you know, he laid hand to hand, mouth to mouth. He got everybody out of the room because, you know, can you imagine if people would have saw him with his mouth in the boy's mouth and the dead boy, and he's got his mouth in the mouth, all the unbelief that would have raised up in that room, he couldn't have done nothing. Jesus could do no miracles in Nazareth because of the people's unbelief. So they had to get him out of the room. He got him out of the room. He laid his hands on his hands, his mouth on his mouth. He breathed into him the breath of life like God did to Adam in the beginning. See, he had a pattern. Well, then Elisha, when he came, he had the same miracles that Elijah did, only double. And he had the same incident where he had a young boy that had died, and so he got everybody out of the room, laid hands on his hands, mouth on his mouth like Elijah did, and breathed into him the breath of life, and God restored his life. Well, come along Martin of Tours. Same thing happened with him. There was a guy that was a catechumen. He was studying under Martin. He was going to be baptized. But in those days, they just didn't say, oh, come to the church, be baptized. And, you know, they made them study to show themselves approved, the workman that needeth not to be ashamed. They didn't just take everybody and say, well, we're going to baptize you because you know, they wanted to make sure they're worthy of baptism. Are you worthy of the gospel? You see? So, the guy died before he had a chance to be baptized. For 3 days he lay there in the slab. Finally they got, Martin had been away, so finally they put him up on the thing and they were going to take him to the place to bury him. And Martin gets there at the time of the burial, says, just a minute, take him back to the room. They took him back to the room, sent everybody out. He laid on him, put his mouth in his mouth, his hands, he breathed in him, and God raised that man from the dead. Same thing happened with Columba. Same thing happened with William Branham. William Branham, there was a man dying of tuberculosis. Brother Branham said some of his entrails were coming out of his mouth. The man had died. Brother Branham shoved those things back in his mouth. Then he got on the man, laid his hands in his hands and his mouth in his mouth. He was a young minister when he did this. And God raised that man that had died from tuberculosis. Now, I challenge anybody here to even get near somebody who's got tuberculosis. This is my first time in Uganda. I prayed for 4 people that had tuberculosis. I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid because I have faith in God. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. The God who told me to go there is going to be the God, the same God that protects me while I'm there. Amen. All right. So we see that there's an end sign. There's a pattern. Jesus Christ is our pattern. Now in Colossians 2:9, for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete or finished off in him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also you are circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, in other words, circumcised of the heart, in putting off of the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Buried with him in baptism, wherein you also are risen with him to the faith of the operation of God. See, you can't do it on your own. You are joint heirs with Christ. Why? It's the same Spirit living in him, living in you. By one Spirit, we're baptized into one body. See, the vessel may be different, but that has nothing to do with the life that's living in the vessel. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I'm living. Yet it's not I that's living, it's Christ that's living in me. The same Christ that lived in Jesus is now living in me. It lived in William Brown. It should live in the bride. And if it's not living in the bride, then you're not bride. All right? Wherein also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God who hath raised you from the dead. And you, being dead in your sins, and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. In other words, get your eyes off the vessel. He's got his eyes off the vessel. When God looks down upon you, he sees you through the blood of his Son, as perfect as he saw his own Son. He's the head. Jesus is the head. We're the body. So God doesn't distinguish between part of this body and, you know, he doesn't distinguish between the hand and the ear, or the hand and the foot. It's all part of the body, you see. Now, if you recall last night, we examined all of these conjunctions with Christ,
where we are complete in Him, buried with Him, risen with Him, and quickened together with Him, and sitting together in heavenly places with Him. Therefore, this morning, I'd like to speak on the subject of being raised up with Him. And I'd like to tie this into the resurrection season that we are about to take enter. We're about to enter. From Jehovah Jireh, Brother Branham said, and then remember, if we go before He comes, we will be up and in His presence, or raised before the others are changed. In other words, the ones that have already gone off the scene are coming back before we get our change. But remember, they don't come back with a different spirit. If they had the Holy Ghost when they went down, they got the Holy Ghost when they come up. We've already got the Holy Ghost. So it doesn't matter about the vessel. We're looking at a resurrected life in us. Hallelujah. The trumpet of the Lord shall sound. Listen, we've got that resurrected life. They're going to have, they've got it, but it takes them out of the grave. This one takes us out of our carnality, out of our self-centeredness, and everything else. And it just, we are focused on one thing, and that's Christ. The trumpet of the Lord shall sound, the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, and caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air. Notice, they come up first, and then we get changed. They come up first, and we get changed. All right? Now look at the order. Brother Matt said, look at the order of the resurrection. See, God knows that we long to see our loved ones. And if we got there to meet Him first, we'd be looking around to see if mother or dad made it, and the rest of them that was there, if they made it. But see how the Holy Spirit in His wisdom, we meet one another first. And then, when we get there, we can sing Amazing Grace, and that's when there's going to be a time of worship. Because there's going to be people there that you didn't think were going to be there. Hallelujah. And there may not be people there that you thought were going to be there. I'll tell you, that'll be the real religious, the real self-pious people. Now, in order to speak of being raised up with Him, we'll have to show that this speaks of resurrection. Therefore, we will speak on the time of the resurrection and what we have to look forward to in this hour. But before we do, I would like to read two quotes in particular from Brother Branham that should put your heart at rest concerning whether you will be there to partake or not. Because this is the end, folks. Once the resurrection begins, it's all over. And fortunately for those who have the Holy Ghost, you are already included in the resurrection ministry. Don't have to worry about whether there's a tent or not a tent. You'll be there. And I kind of believe that if you'll be there, you have an anticipation that you'll be there. Amen? From the rising of the sun, Brother Branham, and now, see, now you are already resurrected. When God raised Him up, He raised you. Why? Because that Spirit that's living in you. Paul said, it's not me, it's Christ that's living in me. See? The sun is just now on you. And now you're growing up into a blossom of life like He was. In other words, when word is piled upon word, it takes a hold of every fiber of your body. All right? To be resurrected completely in the last days, your potentials you have now. Why do you know? Your soul changed, didn't it? Your body come into obedience to it, didn't it? Into obedience to what? A church? The Word, which is the life. Then you are now resurrected from the dead. And you potentially have the earnest awaiting. Now, when you get the dynamics, you have been quickened from mortal to immortality. It makes the whole body come subject to the Word. It'll make you act different, look different, live different. It'll make you different. In other words, you are so Christ-like because it's Christ's Spirit in you. Then notice now, as we close now, this notice is just like a little seed laying in the ground. Now, potentially, you are resurrected. You're resurrected when you receive the Holy Spirit in you. You're resurrected right then. Your body's potentially resurrected. From the Easter seal. And now if that same Spirit that was upon Him to the Redeemer, to be the Redeemer of that age, in that age that we have accepted. Now, the promise of it of in this days, what would take place if you become part of that Word, you are redeemed with Him because the same Spirit that dwelt in Christ is dwelling in you, quickening your life to this age. And it will also, in the end time, quicken your mortal body, resurrect them, bring them up again. That takes the gloom away when we can look at it that way, and that's the truth. Romans here, Paul proved it to us. See, if the Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, it will also quicken your mortal body. This is the same Spirit that raised Him up, that quickened the true believer to eternal life. The Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in the believer, quickens the believer to eternal life. You see, this is the problem that we have in this message. We have people that don't understand Godhead. They don't understand the relationship between Father and Son. So they try to make the Spirit of God like an entity, like, say, a glass of water. And they take a glass of water and they say, all that was in the Father, the full glass, he poured into the Son, an empty glass, and now the Son's glass is full, but the Father is empty, so they do away with God. Then all that was in the Son, he poured into the church, now there's no Father, no Son, it's all in the church. That's hogwash. Yeah, if you have three glasses, the first being full, all that was in the Father was poured into the Son, now you have two full glasses because you have God's life. The same God life that was in the Father is now in His Son. And the same God life was poured into the church, and now you have three full glasses, Father, Son, and Sons. All right? It's all full because it's all life. Now, and being that we follow the message William Branham brought from God to help us in this last hour to prepare for the time of resurrection and rapture, we will perhaps touch on some subjects that seem to have worked their way into the message churches concerning the resurrection. I know that there are many misunderstandings people have concerning the tent ministry and what some call the return ministry. And they base the name, that name, return ministry, on something Brother Branham said when he was interpreting a dream of another man. And it showed Brother Branham coming from the west to the east. And this is also what Brother Branham told Brother Collins the next time he said, my ministry will go from the west to the east. And so these people, now I'm not saying Brother Collins, but I'm saying the people that believe in a return ministry, they think it's going to be a ministry just like he had before. And that's why the fellow that purchased himself an airplane, and I talked to him on three different occasions for almost 2 hours each time, about 4 or 5 hours. And let me just say this, and not to disparage anybody, but it's just malarkey. It's total malarkey. He went from an airplane to a helicopter, and I said, one of the Branham family told me that you changed from an airplane to a helicopter. So, well, you know, he said, when Brother Branham was here, he said, you know, the meetings were so packed that you couldn't get Brother Branham in. They had to put him over the wall in Mexico and places like that. He said, you know, it was just so packed. So he said, you know, I figured that, you know, he'd need a helicopter to get to the meeting. Now see, this is a man's thinking. It has nothing to do with thus saith the Lord. It has nothing to do with the vision that Brother Brown had of a tent. And Brother Brown told me just a week before he passed from the scene, he said, I will have that tent, even if it's for only one meeting. I know that meeting could be a protracted six weeks meeting, so which is about 42 days. Now, but I do not use the term return ministry because it's wrong. Because Brother Brown never used it. All right? But we can see by understanding that Alpha must repeat in Omega that all we have to do is to look back at the Alpha ministry of Christ and realize Jesus had a resurrection ministry. And that lasted about 40 to 50 days. And if God did that in the Alpha, He must repeat it in the Omega, for Alpha must become Omega. Therefore, Brother Bell and I never called this the return ministry, but rather the Omega resurrection ministry. Now, we find in Luke 13:23, Jesus tells us in the form of a parable of the time when the Lord shall come. He says, then said one to another, are there few that be saved? And he said unto them, strive to enter in at the strait gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in, and shall not be able. When once the master of the house is risen and has shut to the door, and you begin to stand without and knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open up unto us, and he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not whence you are. Then shall you begin to say, we have eaten and drunken in thy presence, and thou hast and hast taught in our streets. But he shall say, I tell you, I know you not whence you are. Depart from me, all you workers of iniquity. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now that's tribulation period. And notice that Jesus continues, see, the people that are hypocrites go to the tribulation period. The hypocrite is a person who knows to do right and he just doesn't do it. That's iniquity. You see? He says one thing, but he does another. He talks the message, but he doesn't live the message. You see, which is Christ. Brother Ramsey, Christ is the message. Now, When ye shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves are thrust out. And he shall come from the east and come from the west and from the north and from the south and shall sit down in the kingdom of God. And behold, there are last which shall be first, and there are first which shall be last. So the resurrected saints, he says, when you see these coming, but you're not allowed to be partakers. That's going to be a terrible time. Terrible time. It's going to be a great time for those that are in Christ. Terrible time for those that aren't. Now notice he's speaking of a time of the coming of the Lord when some are caught up and others are left behind for the tribulation period. And then he concludes, there are last which shall be first, and there are first which shall be last. And God's vindicated prophet told us that that speaks of the order of the resurrection. The first age to go down, the Ephesian church age, will be the last one to come up. And the last age to go down, the Laodicean church age, will be the first one to come up. Now we know also that the parousia involves a shout, a voice, and a trumpet. And we are told by Brother Branham in the rapture message that the voice is the resurrection. The shout of the message, the voice of the resurrection. And Brother Branham taught us that there will be an order to that resurrection. Now, from the seven church ages, Brother Branham said, he that was first will be last. That's the order of the resurrection. I won't know nobody in the generation before me or the generation after me. I'll know those in the generation with me. Every generation will come successfully as it went down. And from Jehovah Jireh, he said, and then remember, if we go before he comes, we will be up and in his presence or raised before the others are changed. So we see people like Brother Vail. I knew Brother Vail. Brother Vail will come back. That's one person I'll recognize. All right, there may be people in this message that I don't know, and I wouldn't recognize them. All right, but that's for other people to recognize. Okay, all right. The trumpet of the Lord shall sound; the dead in Christ shall rise first. And we which are alive and remain shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, and be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air. Look at the order of the resurrection. See, God knows that we long to see our loved ones. And if we got there to meet him first, we'd be looking around to see if mother or dad and the rest of them was there. But see how the Holy Spirit in his wisdom, we meet one another first. Then when we get there, we can sing Amazing Grace. That's when there's going to be a time of worship. Hallelujah. I love these words. It's just so comforting to my soul. From Ecclesiastes, Solomon wrote, the thing that hath been, it is that which shall be. Now think about this. The thing which hath been in the past is the thing that shall be. And that which is done is that which shall be done. And there is no new thing under the sun. So Alpha has to repeat in Omega. Okay, Ecclesiastes 3:15. That which hath been is now, and that which is to be hath already been, and God required that which is past. That's why we have patterns in the Bible. We have Moses with the staff. We have Elijah making the staff. We have Elisha making the staff. You see, parting the water. We have Elijah with his mouth on the mouth, the hands in the hands, because God put his mouth on Adam and breathed into him the breath of life. It's all a pattern. That which is past is to be. All right? You've got to recognize the pattern. Now, so we've got a pattern to the resurrection. People think the resurrection is going to come. People are going to be driving in cars and buses and airplanes, and the pilots are going to go up to the sky, and the clothes are going to be left on the bench, and it's all a bunch of malarkey. That's Hollywood. That's not how it's going to be. It already began. I'm not saying the resurrection, but I'm saying this. The shout is the message. It's to gather the people together. We gather to Christ. All right? Now, then the voice. Now the scripture reads, that which hath been is now. Therefore I believe the Alpha and Omega principle that we have studied in this church helps us to understand that Solomon, what Solomon is saying here. Because he also said, there is nothing new under the sun. And then he said, and that which is to be hath already been. But the thing that I do not want you to miss is his conclusion. And God requireth that which is past. Now remember when Brother Branham preached the rapture, he showed the same thing. He said there's already been five raptures. In the Old Testament, he talked about Enoch and Elijah and whatever. Or there's five total: three in the Old Testament, three in the New Testament, because Jesus was the one in between. All right. Now, yes, God requires that which is past, and if God requires that which is past, then all who claim to follow and believe the message are going to be held accountable for what they claim to follow and believe. All and all that we all. all that we know about the message and the messenger of this day and the great sacrifice he made on our behalf to bring to the world the revelation of Jesus Christ is given to him, and we will be held accountable for what we are doing with what we've been given. Too many people are complacent. I believe the message. I believe God sent the prophet, and they live any old way of life, and I'm going to tell you one thing right now. They're not going to make it. They're just not going to make it. It's a dedicated, consecrated person that's died to self, because you'll never be born again until you've died to yourself first. We don't bury living people. We bury dead people. And we bury them in baptism. Now, God spoke in Deuteronomy 29:29, the secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of the law. So they're spoken so that we could do. Alright, there's passive faith so that you enter into active faith. Now, you were not held accountable for the message until God revealed it to you. And now that he has revealed it to you, it has become your message. Then what are you going to do with it? You all know what happened to the man that was given a talent and he buried it. That was given to him was taken away and given to another to invest. So what investments have you made with what you've been given? All right. The problem that I see in many believers who claim to be following the message is that they do not understand the message. They know a few things about William Branham, God's servant and messenger. In other words, they got their eyes focused on the vessel, but they don't have their eyes on the God who used the vessel. They do not know what the message was, and God requires that which is past. Yes, God will call to pass the past to account, and he will inquire of what they knew about it and what they did about what they knew. And yes, they will be judged for claiming to believe the message when they do not believe it. Well, they know Brother Branham had a message, and they claim to believe that message, but when it comes right down to it, they do not know what the message is, and therefore they do not believe it. And listen, Brother Branham said the message is Christ, so therefore they do not know Christ in the power of his resurrection. And that is a sad indictment of the mainstream message followers today. Now, I do not say all, but I do say many are in that condition and do not even know it. And when we should be living our lives ever so carefully, not knowing if each heartbeat will be our last, yet we are so careless and carefree concerning the message that has been given to us, and the prophet of God gave his life for you to receive this word, and yet we take it all for granted, everything that has taken place in this hour. And we say, well, praise God, there's 2 million people, and I hope to be one of those that's in the rapture. I hope I am. Well, if you just got a hope so, then forget it. Go eat, drink, and be married, remarried. That's what they all do. All right. From his sermon, I know, Brother Branham said, and if Job by vision could stand so firmly upon the promise, how much more ought we to be after Christ has raised from the dead and become the first fruits of those that slept and sent back the Holy Spirit as a seal of promise upon us that we too shall live. Because I live, you live also. That's what he said. Seeing his great presence among us, working and doing the same signs and wonders that he did on earth, giving us a hope, and we come to the resurrection and then remain on our ash heaps. Let's get off the ash heap today with a new vision, with a new power, with a new determination that we see God in his power, that we see the resurrection of the things coming. Now, anyone who has read and heard Brother Branham's third Exodus sermon ought to understand the Alpha and Omega comparisons between the three Exoduses under the pillar of fire. The first Exodus was the pillar of fire utilizing Moses to take the people out of Egypt, which was a type of the world church. And then we saw the same pillar of fire remain on the scene using Joshua to bring the people into the promise for that hour and to positionally place the people in that promise. In the second Exodus, we again saw the pillar of fire come on the scene and indwell Jesus. And through God's Son, the people came out from the ecclesiastical system. But then God took Jesus off the scene, just as he took Moses off the scene. And yet the pillar of fire did not leave. For we see the same pillar of fire that indwelt Jesus remain and use the Apostle Paul to bring the people into the promise for that hour. And so Paul, just as Joshua had before him, positionally placed the people into the promise for that hour. Now we have seen the same thing repeat again in this hour. That which has been is now. And at this third Exodus under the pillar of fire, we saw how God used the man, William Branham, to call the people out of organization. And after he delivered his message to come out from among her and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Then God took that prophet off the scene, and yet that same pillar of fire hath remained on the scene to bring people into the promise for this hour, which is the placement of sons. We have a promise to be conformed to the image of the firstborn son. We have a promise to get ready for the change of the body, which is the adoption that Paul called in Romans chapter 8. Now, this morning I would like to address another subject altogether, and that is a certain question that seems to come up no matter where I go in the world. As you are well aware, there are many people who follow the message of Brother Branham who are looking for him to be raised from the dead and come back to finish his ministry. Those who teach this call it the return ministry. Now, there are many different versions of this return ministry teaching, but the main theme in all of them is this. Number one, Brother Branham will come back from the dead. Number two, he will have a tent meeting. And number three, he will use the third pole in this meeting. Now, some will go as far as to say Brother Branham will be raised from the dead by God, and then Brother Branham will raise the rest from the dead. I don't believe that for one second. Because Jesus didn't come out of the grave, and then Jesus raised the rest from the dead. They all came out of the grave after he came out. Notice, after he came up. Matthew chapter 27, and the graves were opened. When he shouted, when the great voice went forth from the cross, he said, "It is finished," and the Bible says, with a great voice, all right, then it says that many of the saints who slept arose, comma, and came out of the grave after his resurrection. So they were quickened, but they didn't come out till after he came out, because he was the first fruits of them who slept. And he had to come and lead captivity captive. Alright? So, to say Brother Branham's coming back, then he's going to speak the resurrection, forget it. You know what you're doing? You're blaspheming. You're trying to make a man God. You're trying to make this man even greater than the Son of God, the eldest son in the vast family of brothers. It's God, the voice of God, that raises the dead. Brother Branham said the same voice that raised Lazarus from the dead will speak and raise and bring forth the resurrection. They said, "Well, that was Jesus." No. Brother Brown said, when Jesus wept, he said, "That was the man." He said, "But when he said, Lazarus, come forth," he said, "That was God in the man." Amen. It's God who is the resurrection. It is God who will bring forth. And Paul said, if that same Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead, that's the Spirit of God did that. 18 times the Bible says God raised Jesus from the dead. He said, that same Spirit lives in you. It'll quicken your mortal body. See, God is the resurrection. Now, that being the main thread that ties all these versions of this doctrine together, let me just say that some people go so far to believe that Brother Branham will need an airplane to move his tent around because they had a dream about it. They say that Brother Branham told him to do this. I do not know what Brother Branham told the brother personally. I mean, I can hear what he said, but I didn't hear Brother Branham on the tape ever mention anything like that. I stick with the tapes. All right? I don't care what Brother Branham told somebody personally. Because Billy Paul walked in one time and Brother Brown told a person to do a certain thing. And then another person came and Brother Brown told him to do just the opposite. And it had to do with birth control or something. And Billy said, "I can't understand, Daddy, why you did that." Another time, Brother Brown told a person not to go a certain place. Next person comes in and Brother Brown told him to go there. And Billy said, "Well, Dad, why'd you tell this one not to? And you told this one too." He said, "Because they're going to do it anyway." So, you know, when you have these things like people say, I've heard a lot of people say, "Well, Brother Bell told us it's okay to remarry." Brother Bell said, "I never told anybody it's okay to remarry. If you're going to do it, go do it. That doesn't mean that I approve of it. Do what's in your heart. You're going to go to hell? Go to hell. But it's on you. It's not on me." You understand? That's the way you talk. Okay. So, some even believe that the man will fly the airplane to Israel to get the resurrected saints and gather them back to fly them to the tent. Now, that plane he's got is about 60-some years old, maybe more than that. What is it, Don? About a 1945 or something? So, and Brother Brown preached in 1953, so that'd be another 8 years on top of that. And I'm 64, that'd be 70-some years ago that plane was okay to. But it would take miles and miles and miles of rewiring. And, I mean, it wouldn't even, the FAA would never even let it go. So it's just now he's changed it to a helicopter. You know. Listen, we stick with the visions because the visions never fail. All right? But the problem is that people are always looking forward to what God is going to do, and they're always looking back at what he did, and they're failing to recognize what is God doing right now. As Brother Branham said, you know, things that Jesus did, that was 2,000 years ago, but what's it doing for me today? I want to know what God is doing right now. I don't want to be left out. I mean, look, it's nice to know that 50, 60 years ago there was a prophet on the scene, but many of you, most of you in here, weren't even born then. So, what's God doing today? That's what I'm interested in.
That's right.
Amen? In fact, that's what Brother Branham said from Identify Christ of All Ages. He said, a man is always praising God for what he has done, always looking forward for what he will do and ignoring what he's doing. It's always been the same thing, and everybody's got their own interpretation, but God is his own interpreter. God don't need no one to interpret. The Bible said it's without interpretation. It don't need man. God interprets the Bible himself. God said, let there be light, there was light. That settles it. God said, a virgin shall conceive, she did. That settled it. When God says anything and vindicates it, that's his interpretation of it. He said he poured out his spirit in the last days, and he did. There's no interpretation to it. It's already interpreted. You see? Now, the thing of it is, Brother Brown says, that is the way people miss what God is doing. By looking forward and looking back, they all and they're failing to recognize what he's doing now. From God in simplicity, he said, many miss him by the way that he reveals himself. Now, man has their own ideas of what God ought to be and what God is going to do. And as I have made the old statement many times, that man still remains man. Man is always giving God praise for what he did do and always looking forward to what he will do and ignoring what he's doing today. I see many people, Brother Brandt coming back, we're going to have a revival, we're going to have this and that, and their lives are just totally trash. Mm-hmm. Living in sin and everything else. And you're expecting Brother Brandt to come back for you? You know, we're supposed to be like the wise men of the house who the thief couldn't get in because he was prepared. Now, the next thing I like to say is that this concept of return ministry is not a new one. 2,000 years ago in Jerusalem, the disciples sat around doing absolutely nothing because they were looking for the return ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. But Paul, on the other hand, had recognized the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ in the pillar of fire that met him on the road to Damascus, and it was that same pillar of fire that had come to Moses and the children of Israel, and it was the same pillar of fire that indwelt Jesus. So Paul was aware of what God is doing right now. You see? But the church in Jerusalem, they began by hiding. Then Jesus had his resurrection ministry, and he did things, and they will change people. But they still sat around and they did nothing while the Apostle Paul had met the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ in the form of the pillar of fire. In other words, what God is doing now, he wasn't worried about what he did, what he's going to do. What's he doing right now? But the early church, they missed it. The Ephesian church missed it. All right? And Brother Brown said Ephesian means restful and basically backslidden what they were. So that's what happened. They lost their first love. Now, Brother Brown said, from we would see Jesus. Look, when he was here on earth, how many knows that was the pillar of fire that followed the children of Israel in the wilderness? That it was Christ, the angel of the covenant. All right? And how many knows that was Jesus in Jesus, that same spirit? Now look, when they questioned him, St. John 6, calling your attention to it, they said, you say that you're greater than Abraham, said that you're only 50 years old yet. He said, before Abraham was, I am. I am was in the burning bush, is that right? A pillar of fire. When he was here on earth, he said, I come from God, I go to God. Did he say it? And then if he came from the pillar of fire, he returned back to it again. After his death, burial, and resurrection, St. Paul was on the road down to Damascus, and a big light struck his face and blinded him. None of the rest of them saw it. Paul saw it. It blinded him. He fell on the ground. What is this pillar of fire again? Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he says, who are you, Lord? He said, I'm Jesus. Is that right? And that same pillar of fire that was on the scene in the midst of the people after it left Jesus. And so Paul not only observed the return ministry of the Spirit of Jesus in the form of the pillar of fire firsthand, but he so entered into that ministry that the man and the ministry became one, and Paul's ministry became the manifested word for his hour. And God was able to use Paul mightily because he so recognized the presence of the Holy Spirit while the others just sat around bickering about who was in the message and who was not. That's exactly what they did. You see, they were so focused on the man, on the vessel, Jesus, that they missed the God who had been using that vessel all along. That's why when Brother Val kind of turned that corner and he saw presence, he saw parousia, the appearing before the coming. He let us know, look, it's not about a man, William Branham, it's about God who came down with a shout. It was God's message. God came down, and the prophet William Branham, he was just a voice that God used to use it. And then that took us to the Godhead to understand the difference between the Father and the vessel of the Son, and the vessel of sons. And like Brother Bell always said, get your eyes off the vessel and get your eyes on the God who's using the vessel. That's what it's all about. That's what the message is all about. Mm-hmm. So you see, they were so focused on the man, the vessel, that they missed the God who had been using that vessel. Therefore, the return ministry concept is not new to Christianity, and it's not confined alone to Christianity either. The Mohammedans have been looking for Muhammad to come back and ride on a white horse in his return ministry to conquer once again. And I believe that those extremist Muslims that are trying to conquer now in the name of Muhammad are doing so with this same mind, hoping to set up this same kingdom and to rule and to reign once again. So it's an extremist viewpoint to look for a return ministry. Brother Branham, when he comes back, it's a resurrection ministry, and it's only to those that are raised up and those that are changed. Amen. It's not for the unbeliever. It's not for the rest of the world. He's not going to Washington, D.C. To raise up George Washington. He's not going to Washington, D.C. to call fire down out of heaven and do all those things that these people are looking for. It's going to be a secret catching away. But with Moses, with Muhammad and all this stuff, it doesn't concern us. What concerns me is what is taking place in this message today. Now, I know that what I'm going to say this morning will be misunderstood by some. But I'm not concerned with that. What I am concerned with is this. If we are so focused on what is going to happen in the future or what has already taken place in the past, then you're missing what God is doing right now, which is a change of the inner man. In other words, a preparation. God is working in us both to will and to do. He's making us sons. He's getting a position for a body change. And that's the adoption to it, the change of the body. And since he is God, and he is the God of the I Am or present truth, then if you are missing what he's doing now, you are out of the picture altogether. You've missed it. You're just through unless you repent and wake up to what God is doing right now. Now, we've already read where Brother Branham said, many missing by the way that he reveals himself. So if they miss him, they miss him. That's all. And he said many will miss God that way by looking forward and looking backwards. Brother Brown taught us that God interprets his word by bringing it to pass. So if you do not want to be guilty of the misinterpreting of the word, then be very careful what you are saying about a return ministry. Now the question that arises is this. What do you believe concerning the tent and the time of the resurrection? Let's not even look at the word tent. What do you believe concerning a vision that Brother Brown had? He called it a new ministry. What do you believe concerning that vision? Well, I've been taught that the visions never fail. So if the visions never fail, it's got to be fulfilled. Whether this side or that side of the resurrection. Just like the bear out up in Canada. There's people saying, well, see, Brother Brown missed it. He missed the vision. Listen, if the vision is that which was and that which is to be, in other words, as Solomon said, that which is past has already been. Okay, Jesus was crucified before the foundation of the world. Then he was crucified 2,000 years ago. And now he's being crucified today in us as a further crucifixion of the Son of God, or sons of God. Then we have to understand the vision can't fail. It's eternal work. That if Jesus went fishing after his resurrection, I believe Brother Brown can go get a bear during his resurrection. I don't have a problem with that. I don't limit God to say, it didn't happen, so it's not going to happen. 730 or 740 years passed from the time Isaiah said, a virgin shall conceive, until it happened. And many, many, many women probably decided they never want to get married. They want to be that virgin. It didn't happen with them. Oh, I
guess it's not going to happen then. Because it didn't happen to me. That's the way people are.
See, but Brother Brown told Mita about a week before he died. He said, Mita, I am going to have that tent even if it's for one meeting. So, do you believe? Do I believe that there will be a tent? Yes, sir. For how long? I don't know. But I believe it will be for at least one meeting.
And how do I know that? Well, I not only heard it from a vindicated prophet. God showed it to me, not in a vision, but a dream. I was there. And many of you were there with me. So,
he gave me something that I needed. And I don't think you have to have a dream to
say that this is that. But when you stand on the Word, God will do things for you to give you a little boost.
Now, the best thing that is that if we take everything back to the Scripture, then we can't go wrong. Brother Branham said he checked every vision with the Scripture, and if he had to, then what about you and I? Therefore, concerning a resurrection ministry, we know Jesus had one. In Matthew 27:50, we read, Jesus, when he had cried aloud again with a loud voice, he yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from top to bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks did rent. And the graves were opened, and, it's a semicolon, and many bodies of the saints who slept arose, comma, and came out of the grave after his resurrection, and went into the holy city, and appeared unto many. Now notice that when Jesus cried with a loud voice, the graves opened, and many saints who slept arose, but notice they did not come out of the grave until after Jesus arose, and it might be fulfilled, he led captivity captive. And Jesus was the first fruits of the resurrection, so the others would by necessity have to follow after he arose. Now, I believe that this will happen again? Well, if Alpha must repeat in Omega, he said, I am Alpha and Omega, it's got to happen, brother, sister. That which was past has already been, that which is to be has already been. You see? So in 1 Corinthians 15, Paul speaks of there being an order of the resurrection. In verse 20, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them which slept. For, that means he's the first one up. For since by man came death, that's Adam, by man came also the resurrection of the dead, that's Jesus. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. For every man in his own order, Christ the first fruit, he's talking about the resurrection, afterward they that are Christ at his parousia. So if every man in his own order, then there is an order to how they will come up. Then Paul tells us a little bit more about the resurrection in a few more verses in chapter 15, verse 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trump shall sound, the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruptible, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruptible, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. All right? Now what did Brother Branham have to say about this? Well, the same thing Paul said. Can't expect anything different. From Jehovah Jireh said, and then remember, if we go before he comes, we'll be up and in his presence or raised before the other in a change. The trumpet of the Lord shall sound, the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, and be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air. Look at the order of the resurrection. See, God knows that we long to see our loved ones. And if we got there to meet him first, we'd be looking around to see if mother or dad and the rest of them was there. But see how the Holy Spirit in his wisdom, we meet one another first. And then when we get there and sing Amazing Grace, then there's going to be a real time of worship. To know there, to look, when you're sitting in that tent like I was in that dream, and you're looking around and you see that everybody you love made it. You talk about anticipation. And when Billy Paul came up to me in that dream, he said, and he stood about this far away, I could reach out, and he says, can I have everybody's attention? He said, Daddy has arrived. And he'll be coming through that door over there in about 2 hours, so please be getting yourself ready for the meeting. It's going to happen. I've got brothers all over the world that have had things like that, where God's shown them. Even one brother out in Oregon. His daughter was raised up to the message, but she's not living the message right now. Just pray for her. But a couple years ago, she had a dream, and her and her dad were out in a big park. And all of a sudden, they came upon a great tent. And they were curious, so they just walked up to the tent. There were people sitting by. They didn't even see it was there. You know, do you see that tent? No, I don't see that tent. There's no tent there. They saw it. They walked up to it.
found a door. They went to the door, and they said to the dad, they said, you can go in, but you can't. But you can meet him on the other side. So in the dream, she walked around to the other side. When she got to the other side, she said there was all these young people talking. She said she heard her dad's voice. She went up. She went over, and she found, and she saw her dad about 16 to 20 years old. All right. She couldn't go through there. But on the other side, see all your offspring with you. What a dream. Amen. So from the seven church ages, Brother Branson, behold, he comes with clouds. Now let me stop here just a moment. Clouds doesn't mean that he's coming on a big thunderhead. His mama, bless her heart, she's sitting somewhere. I remember her voice. She used to sit and tell me, and he's coming on a great big cloud. A big cloud is going to raise up someday, and God's going to come on. Now the cloud that is coming in, is if we just had the time to get this back and get the real background and the whole thing. Now the cloud he's coming in is not a cloud like a thunderhead, but it's a cloud of glory. He's coming in. A cloud of glory. He came down and gave us the seven seals. The word glory, by the way, in the Greek is doxa. And it means the opinions, the values, and the judgments. He's coming with the opinions, values, and judgments. That's a shock. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, when Jesus was overshadowed by God on Mount Transfiguration, the clouds overshadowed him and his raiment. Notice there is always a voice speaking from the cloud. The voice spoke out of the cloud. This is my beloved Son. Hear ye him. Giving the revelation or the revelation of Jesus Christ or the relationship between Father and Son. See? And when Elijah would come down, a cloud come down and received him up, not a thunderhead, but a cloud of glory. His great glorious presence will strike the earth. He cometh in clouds. Oh, I love that. Clouds. There'll be wave after wave of his glory will come across the earth, and the resurrection of the saints shall come. That blessed Holy Spirit that's lived in their hearts, and they've died there with their corpse laying there and pierced veins over their cheeks and like that. And they placed back in the graveyard, and a wave after wave of that same Spirit, and wave after wave, he that was last will be first. He that was first, that's Paul's age, will be last. I kind of see it that way. That's the order of the resurrection. I won't know nobody in the generation before me, or the generation after me, that's us. I'll know those in the generation with me. Every generation will come successfully right as it went down. They which were last will be first. Sure, that's me, see? I'll know my people. And the next time, my dad and his people, my grandfather and his people, on down like that, wave after wave after wave after wave, and the saints will rise from everywhere. Won't that be wonderful? Amen. That makes the old people feel young again, yes? Now, notice closely. For I come to you in a cloud, and every eye shall see him. No matter how far back they died, they'll see him. So it's not a thunderhead. It's a cloud of glory. And from questions and answers, Brother Branham says, Brother Branham, will the bride go through the persecution as the early apostolic church did? No. I just explained that a few minutes ago. No. The next thing is the rapture now. Remember, we're at the promised land. We're at the border. You understand the march of Israel. And I would say anybody that doesn't understand, go back to Brother Branham's series on Israel and the church. It's all laid out perfectly, the chronology of what's going to take place. And from his sermon, just once more, Brother Branham said, now, brother, sister, I don't know in my Bible of any other thing that God promised to do before the rapture of the church. The next thing left is for the rapture of the church. It could come at any time and not to disrupt any scripture or in the Bible as far as I know it. Now, we know the rapture is already in process because the vindicated prophet told us that the Lord does three things in his descent, a shout, a voice, a trump. And he told us that the shout is a message, that is the charisma, which is a military command, all things in subjection. Well, frankly, Paul said that we are all things in Christ, and I do not see that we are all in subjection yet to God. The next thing, and that's what we've been learning. Coming into subjection, realizing our relationship with the Father, to be obedient sons, to die to self. You see, all these things. That's part of growing up into Him. Well, frankly, Paul said that we're all things in Christ. And as I said, I don't see it across the board yet with everybody. But the next thing is the voice, which Brother Branham said is the resurrection, the same voice that raised Lazarus from the grave. And that was not the voice of the Son of God, but that was God that was indwelling His Son. He said, Lazarus, come forth, and so He did. The last is the trump, which is the catching away, and that is what takes us out of here. So there is a time element to the three phases of the rapture. And from the rapture, Brother Branham said, three things happen, a voice, a shout, a voice, a trump, has to happen before Jesus appears. Now, a shout.
Jesus does all three of them when he's descending. A shout. What is a shout? It's a message going forth first, the living bread of the living of the living bread of life, bringing forth the bride. Now, God has a way of doing things, and he never changes his policy. He's the unchanging God. In Amos 3 and 7, he said he would do nothing on the earth until he first revealed to his servants the prophets. And so, again, from the rapture, he said, therefore, the message calls the bride together, the shout, the trump, the same morning with a loud voice, he screamed out that shout and voice and woke Lazarus. With a loud voice, he cried, Lazarus, come forth, and the voice wakes up the sleeping bride, the sleeping dead. And the trumpet, with the sound of the trumpet, when it does, it calls, always the trumpet called Israel to the feast of the trumpets, which was the Pentecostal feast, the great feast in the sky, the feast of the trumpets. And now a trumpet denounces, are calling together, calling to a feast. And now that is the Lamb's Supper in the sky, the assembly together in the bride, the feast of the trumpet, the wedding supper. We've seen it in types. Now watch just a moment. So what Brother Branham is letting us know is, look, you have a shout, which basically is gathering us to a message. It's gathering us to Christ. Then you have a voice, which is the resurrection. And then you have the trumpet, which actually gathers us to the wedding supper. Okay. From God in simplicity, he said, but you know, Jesus didn't come contrary to the Word. He came according to the Word, but contrary to their interpretation. See, he taught things that was against their ecclesiastical training about it. And from Titus, he says, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and that glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, the timing, all right? From letting off the pressure, Brother Anderson, now, what's the matter with the people? Can't you see that we're at the end time? It's all over. The next thing will be a sweep. The little group together, in a month or so, she'll be gone as soon as she's gathered together. All right, a month, all right? That's 30 days. A month or so could be 40 days, just like the Alpha ministry, all right? So, I don't look for a long, protracted period of time when the resurrection begins. In the book of Acts, we see that it was about 40 to 50 days is all, and Alpha must repeat in Omega. Now, I know there's a lot of skeptics that preach totally against, they preach against the return ministry people, and they say, well, you see, if you take Brother Branham, I'd like to have it here 6 weeks, and maybe I'd like to have it here 6 weeks, you know, the tent, you're talking about the tent. But they say, well, that, you know, if you're going to have all those places, you've got 180 days. And so they say, well, see, you know, we don't believe in that. Well, that's good for you, but he never said it would be, thus saith the Lord, he just said, I'd like to. But we know one thing, every place he said he'd like to have it for 6 weeks. 6 weeks is 42 days. That fits right into Scripture. All right? So I don't look for a protracted period. I look for a time when it's all over, for we're out of here. The resurrection begins. You'll see loved ones that have passed on. Your mother. Just be ready. You see those that live their lives for this message come up. It's over at that time, brothers and sisters. You can't change at that time. He that's filthy is filthy still. He that's righteous is righteous still. You change now. I was associated with the Return Ministry Group for 40 years ago. And all this is nothing new to me. However, there is a danger in running headstrong after this teaching. Most of them professing the return ministry have rejected the doctrine that William Branham taught and have also deified Brother Branham as a man making him God. When you hear them talk, they do not speak of the Word of God or the doctrine that separated Brother Branham from all other ministries. What they talk about is the supernatural, but Brother Branham made it very clear that that supernatural was only the bait to get us to the message. Now, the problem is, like somebody wrote and said, Brother Branham, question and answer, Brother Branham, is it possible, Luke, maybe I have that in my notes here, maybe. Yeah, I'll get to that later. All right. But what they do is they reject Christ. Christ is the message. All right? If they believe the presence, they would not be looking down the road, they'd be looking right now. They do not teach the presence of the pillar of fire that is leading the bride, nor do they understand and teach the Godhead right, and thus they do not understand their own relationship with God as sons. And even those who claim to believe the parousia and Godhead deny the presence of the pillar of fire. When God came down in those three rainbow. And Brother Brown called those three rainbows that came together, he called that the pillar of fire. And when people saw it, and it's on film and everything else, God showed us he's still leading us. He's still leading us. And they say, well, that's nonsense. Well, it might be nonsense to you, but pillar of fire was nonsense to Balaam, but it wasn't to Moses. All right? Now, and there are so many scriptures that are being fulfilled in this late hour that strictly concern sons, so we ought to know, but do we? Be very careful not to get yourself involved with this teaching or on return ministry, because it is a very religious spirit, and it brings with it much fear and condemnation. In other words, if you do not say it the way that they say it, they will damn you to hell as an unbeliever. They try to make Brother Branham God incarnate when he was a prophet of God. The pillar of fire was not in him, the pillar of fire was above him. Now, I speak from experience. You know, it's strange, but when you listen to those men, when they speak of Brother Branham coming back, it's as though the Lord Jesus himself is returning. Concerning Brother Branham, look, he said, I will know those people in my generation, but I won't know those before or after. Lord Jesus knows us all. Now, concerning Brother Branham coming back in the resurrection, we must never forget that what took place in the Alpha must repeat in Omega. Jesus himself did not have his own separate resurrection. When he arose from the dead, the Old Testament saints also arose, although he came forth first because he was the first fruit of that resurrection. And he led captivity captive. Many who teach the return ministry as their staple are concerned about the tent, and yet Brother Branham said that he thought it looked like a large auditorium, and you do not take a large auditorium from one location to another. I mean, you just don't do that. Now, Brother Branham always taught us God interprets his own word by bringing it to pass, and so we should wait on God to interpret it, or we could miss it altogether. And what I saw in that dream, it wasn't like an old-fashioned tent. It was like these new modern tents that are air-blown. It looked like it actually is curved walls, just like an auditorium or just like a cathedral, like Brother Branham said. But it was canvas sides. All right? So we must wait on God to bring it to pass. Just believe it. God said it. Believe it. And just that settles it. Now, for Mother's Day, Brother Branham said, and as the light begins to spread, we'll know as we're known. We'll understand. And we'll remember our acquaintances and the ones that's been there. And there'll be many there that we didn't even think would be there. For you know it's at that time that I believe that the bread that we have cast upon the human troubled waters will return to us on that day. When we see the effects of our testimony on people that we didn't understand their actions toward it, we'll probably be there. What a day that will be. And then the seeds that we've sown, not even thinking that they would, what they would do, but here they are. They brought forth precious fruit, and we'll see them on that day. You know, I get emails all the time. I quit sharing them with my family because there's so many. Brothers saying, you know, I've been following your ministry for years, and I just want to tell you that the people, you know, in my church are really changing because of it. And when I get testimonies like that, like Brother Brown said, right here, he says, and the things that you sowed, the seeds that you sowed, not even thinking what they would do, but here they are. They brought forth precious fruits, and we'll see them on that day. For Mother's Day, he said, as that great light begins to spread all, as we begin to look around, and the great circle will be getting greater and greater, it's all just reflecting the approach of Jesus. And after a while, as the song said, and I shall see Jesus at last, he will be waiting for me, Jesus so kind and true. On his beautiful throne, he'll welcome me home after his day is through. Then as we see him, and will not be as we are now, we'll know how to love him more. We'll not stand back with a little fear, because we'll be like him. Listen to this. He'll be more of a relative to us than he is now. Why? He's your oldest brother. Hallelujah. We'll understand him better because we're so far away in the mortal bodies. Then we'll have a body like his own glorious body. We'll know how to worship him. And when we see what the presence of his being has done to us, changed us, the old back young, all the deformed straightened out, Oh, we'll understand then why his power healed us. The question that's been in our mind, how can he do it? What would this? Somehow, mysteriously, they'd all fade away. The knots that's been tied in the back of our minds, will it be this? How could it be? Somehow or another, majestic fingers will just untangle, unravel those knots, and it'll all fade into one big crown of love. It's like when Brother Branham was caught up to the other side. He was asking questions of those people. They were giving him answers. Hallelujah. All the knots just, they're gone. From when their eyes were open, he said, soon there's something greater that is coming. It'll soon be here. It'll be a marvelous set then, if the Lord willing. How many ever read my last vision that's been wrote up in the magazine? Wait till you see that take place. Then this will be minor, what the Lord's fixing. You'll just keep on and on and on and on. Jesus is coming. The time of the gathering of the people is at hand, and we must look forward to this, to the great things to happen. How many read the sermon, when omnipotence speaks, miracles happen? Did you believe that? Certainly. Omnipotence spoke at every junction, and when the church cooled off, then omnipotence spoke. Miracles takes place. And this is the junction of all junctions. This is the end. The end of the whole history of the world is right now at hand. So, you can expect omnipotence to speak, and you can expect the greatest and mightiest miracles that's ever happened on the earth will happen in the next few years to come. If Jesus tarries, it will be. But Brother Branham himself was anticipating God to step on the scene and do great things. And what could be greater than for you to receive the change of your body? In closing, from greater than Solomon is here, Brother Branham says, so I pray that someday I'll see that great uniting together of all the body of Jesus Christ coming together in one great big body, then the rapture will come. Again, from what is the Holy Ghost? He said, now the Spirit of God has worked under justification under Luther, sanctification under Wesley, baptism of the Holy Ghost under Pentecost, and here it is in the last days performing and doing the very same thing that it did when it was in Christ. What is it? The church in Christ has become one. And as soon as they connect together that last link, she will go up through the sky shouting, up will come Wesley, Luther, all the rest of them back in those days. He that's first will be last, and he that's last will be first, and there'll come the resurrection. From question and answer, he says, now Brother Mercer said he got the best out of the meeting where we explained that when the Holy Ghost would come into the meeting and broke himself up and God dividing himself among the people, well, that's just what it does. And then when God's people begin to gather back together, there's unity, there's power. See, and when God's people gets together completely, I believe the resurrection will take place then. There'll be a rapturing time when the Holy Spirit begins to gather it up. It'll be in the minority, of course, but there'll be a great gathering. Now, the problem is people thought Brother Brown was speaking of Tucson. And so there got to be a doctrine flow out there. You had to move to Tucson to be there with Brother Branham because the rapture had to be all gathered together. And Brother Branham said, don't do that because that's in the desert. And if you do that, it'll make me a false prophet because he says, if he's in the desert, going on forth. You see? He said, it's going to be a universal thing. But we will be gathered to Christ. And brother, sister, of anything that I know, the doctrine of Christ, the revelation of Father and Son, the understanding of our relationship between Father and Son is changing people. It's bringing people together. People that are complete strangers, you just feel like you've known them for years because you realize you're brothers and sisters. Like it was when we went to Zambia and the brothers in Choma, there's eight churches there. They never had a meeting together. And after spending a week with them, showing them that relationship between Father and Son, Father and sons, and our relationship with the eldest Son, Jesus, and how we were being conformed to His image. And when we finished those series of meetings, those brothers got together. They were weeping and crying because they said before that, before this meeting, they had never attended a meeting together. If a minister had somebody come into town, the rest of them would avoid it. It was like a market share. You know, I've got my market share. I don't want to share my market with those people there. And so they said when one minister would be walking down the sidewalk, if another minister was coming on the same sidewalk from another direction, one of them would play chicken. One of them would walk to the other side to avoid having to talk to him. But they said after that meeting, when we realized we are brothers and sisters, we are brothers and Jesus is the eldest brother. Brother Brown was an older, but Jesus is the eldest brother. And they said we held a citywide revival. and we had people that were bedridden for 2 years coming out of their beds. Miracle upon miracle taking place. Why? Because they got their attitudes right. Just see. One of these days. And I see all over the world, to the brothers that I have contact with, we all have the same mind. And that's the mind of Christ. We have this mind that says we have a family. God is the head of the family. Jesus is the oldest brother. We have prophets that are older brothers. We have some that are younger than us, some that are older than us. But we're all brothers. And there's no big shots among us. There's only one big one, and that's God. As Jesus said, call no man good. They called him good. He said, no, don't call me good. There's only one that's good, and that's God. From Uniting Time and Sign, it says, the dead saints with the living saints uniting together to be one, and all going together to unite with Christ yonder for the wedding supper of the Lamb, and to think of us standing in the moment and twinkling of an eye when the world won't know what's going on. You see, it's not going to be a universal thing. But all of a sudden, you'll see appear before you your loved one that's gone on has come to unite with you. What a time of... Oh, this is far. Gracious Father, we want to thank you, Lord. We have more quotes to share, but they're all basically, Lord, sharing the same thing. And that's, we spent an hour, hour and a half, Lord, going over these things, knowing, Father, that there's coming a time, and it's just on the verge of it now, that the dead saints will come forth, your prophet being one of them, but people that we've loved in this message, and that loved us, and that loved your message, love your word with all their hearts, and they'll be raised from the dead. And what a time of glory, what a time of uniting together that will be. But I believe, Father, with all my heart, you're uniting us around the globe right now. You're uniting us to you. And that's the main thing, that we are so in love with you that we wouldn't want to do anything that would displease you. And this we ask, and ask you to help us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, the Lord bless thee and keep thee, and may the Lord make his face shine upon thee. Hallelujah. The Lord bless thee.